be sure we are in fellowship. It's so easy to knock yourself out of fellowship. Rebound establishes the filling ministry of the Holy Spirit, isolates the STA. So this is your opportunity to be sure that you are ready to go as we continue to look at the Israelites panicking at the Red Sea crossing site. They are corporately all out of fellowship. There was no reason for this. God was setting up Pharaoh and his army for their destruction. As noted here, then we noted the complaining, and then Moses gives them instructions. He doesn't entertain their gross human viewpoint and tells them what they need to do. And he has faith. They don't. God's going to take care of the Egyptians today. He may not know exactly how and what was going to happen because they had the Egyptians behind them in this canyon that my wife and I, as I told you, in 1999 drove our Egyptian rent car up that canyon, and then it said, you know, Cairo, so many kilometers, turned around, came back through the canyon. The walls of the canyon have this colored rock, hence the colored canyon. And out at the end of it, before you get to the right before you go down to the beach, the large beach, Nueva, there was an Egyptian outpost, and we had to leave our passports there. They came out. The Egyptian commander came out in his white uniform. He handed them to me and said, "Beautiful, wasn't it?" I thought, how ironic. We have an Egyptian outpost here in the fake Mount Sinai Peninsula, and because the real Mount Sinai is in Saudi Arabia, Jebel Awaz, and so the Israelites come out on this massive beach, which at the time only had one hotel, Hilton, that we stayed in, and we stood on that beach. But by that time, I knew that the real crossing site for the Red Sea crossing was not the Suez branch, couldn't have been, doesn't work in all kinds of ways, process of elimination. And people have gone in there and done research, divers, people on the other side, and it's amazing. If you go online and look up Red Sea crossing site, Mount Sinai, something like that, you'll run across a video, at least I have one, that's excellent. It's very encouraging. There's all kinds of artifacts around that mountain where the Israelites were. There is no evidence whatsoever at that fake tourist site that was out there, which we went to just for the heck of it. But anyway, one of the features here is that there's an underwater land bridge, natural, that God put in there, the geology of the whole thing, so that this many people could walk across and get on the other side of it. And so God set up all the features. He, somewhere in the book of Isaiah, he took them through mighty waters. So this wasn't some silly marsh. This is a deep, deep water. At its deepest point, it's almost as high as the Empire State Building. So the evidence is out there, people. It has been covered up for one reason or another through the years. God is bringing these kinds of things out. Keep praying. God will continue to bring the truth out that these aren't just Jewish legends. This is a real history. It really happened this way. So the Lord will fight for you while you keep silent. Exodus 14, verse 14. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Why are you crying out to me?" In other words, he too is trying to put a clamp on all this. "Tell the sons of Israel to move out, go forward." You notice they marched in an orderly way. Moses was a military man in Egypt. They walked out by groups. It wasn't chaotic. "As for you, lift up your staff and stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it. And the sons of Israel shall go through the midst of the sea on dry land." Notice the back and forth here. "As for you, as for me, I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians so that they'll go in after them. God had already hardened Pharaoh's heart. If you read the narrative of this person's psychology, he hardened his heart. You'll say he hardened his heart. Now God's hardening his heart. He did it by putting the Jews in this vulnerable position, so he would be encouraged that now, at last, I will have the last word. And I will bloody them and drag them back to Egypt. I still got my army. Now the Pharaohs, they were always, when they went into battle, they always led the charge. They didn't sit back on a hill and watch the soldiers fight. They were these godlike figures, and I'm going to lead in here. So he went in with his war chariot first, and the Egyptians followed him. I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians so that they will go in after them, and I will be honored through Pharaoh and all the army through the chariots and his horsemen. Then the Egyptians, that's the surviving ones, will know that I am the Lord. For some people, God has to make it clear that who and what he is through extreme measures. Now you will know that I am Yahweh. When I am honored through Pharaoh, through his chariots and his horsemen. So the angel of Yahweh, another term for Yahweh in the Old Testament, the angel of God, who had been going before the camp of Israel, moved and went behind them. And the pillar of cloud moved from before them and stood behind them. Rear guard action. So it came between the camp of Egypt and the camp of Israel. And there was the cloud along with the darkness. Yet it gave light at night. I told you that, didn't I? Thus, the one did not come near the other all night. Because on that fateful night, Israel got no sleep. They're walking across the 8-mile stretch over that land bridge, underwater land bridge. And that means everybody could get on there and walk through it. And they did. That's how great our God is. He's going to show wonders and signs to the nations as we approach the day of the Lord. This will be big showtime. In the face of all the nations, people won't be able to just ignore this like people do with doctrine today. They come across truth, they scurry away from it. They don't want to come into the light. They don't want the truth. The multitudes. God's going to test all nations. Test their volition to see which way it's going to go. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord swept back the sea by a strong east wind all night and turned the sea into dry land so the waters were divided. Okay, I said they went at night. I'm wrong. Then the sons of Israel went through the midst of the sea on the dry land, and the waters were like a wall to them on their right hand and their left. Anybody tempted to reach their hand out and touch the water? No problem. So God overruled the natural state of the water in that lake. I mean, in that gulf. He overruled it. He made it stand up and pile up like dirt. So there was a nice wall. And so basically, walking through it, there's no reason for anybody to get even damp. God in his omnipotence held this up so the Israelites could walk through. And they went through the midst of the sea on the dry land, and the waters were like a wall to them. Okay, then the Egyptians took up the pursuit. The rear guard action ceases, and now they can move forward. You'd have figured they would have figured this one out. I don't think we need to go any further with this. But it's like human nature. They just go on to their destruction. And all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots, his horsemen, went in after them into the midst of the sea. How ironic. The Pharaoh, who had ordered the genocide of Jewish baby boys in the Nile. Again, it's like I said, no amount of evidence slows some people down. No amount. It's the perversity of human nature. They still think they can do this. And it just keeps repeating itself with people. And all Pharaoh's, because they went into this land bridge. At the morning watch, the Lord looked down on the army of the Egyptians through the pillar of the cloud and fire and cloud, and brought the army of the Egyptians into confusion. God does it His way. He caused their chariot wheels to swerve. Before going into combat with chariots, you had to be sure that the wheels were secure. We would say today, loosen the lug nuts. And so they were all wobbly. But now it's too late. They can't wheel them around and get out of there. And he made them drive with difficulty. So the Egyptians said, "Let us flee from Israel, for the Lord is fighting for them against the Egyptians." You're now just figuring this out. Before you die of drowning by a watery death. So Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to its normal state at daybreak, while the Egyptians were fleeing right into it. So it caved in this way. The water caved in not just like this, but starting from the west side and pushing forward towards the east. So we have the details here. The exact details of how Moses writes down here in Exodus. And the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. The waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen. These artifacts are being found on the floor down there now. They're encrusted in coral. There's weird formations down there. There's your evidence, people. Anyone watching this? This is your evidence. You need to line up with God and His plan. Because Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. And the horsemen, even Pharaoh's entire army had gone into the sea after them. Not even one of them remained. Including Pharaoh of the 12th dynasty. We know his name, and we know that they have never discovered his tomb and sarcophagus in Egypt. It's not to be found. All these other kings, all these other pharaohs, yes, not him. But the sons of Israel walked on dry land through the midst of the sea, and the waters were like a wall to them on the right and on their left. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day from the hand of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead on the seashore. All these dead bodies. All this Pharaoh's army. It's nothing now. The news of this, by the way, traveled far, even in the ancient world. The nations around heard about it. They'd been seeing the spectacle in Egypt. Because people travel and people visit, commerce, various things. And they had stories to take home. And especially the Canaanite nations were shaking in their sandals. Nobody'd seen anything like that. And this God of the Israelites, this Yahweh. Go where the best evidence is. Go with the truth. Go with and God has left evidence for these things, as I said. When Israel saw the great power which the Lord had used against Israel. Now here's a high point for the Exodus generation. For a minute, they snap out of it. They absolutely snap out of it. None of this mess we saw earlier in the chapter, and why'd you bring us out here to kill us, and we'd have been better off, all that mess. It says here, and this is my proof text, that they were believers. Now they were believers before this. But this is the evidence. The collective nation came to their senses for a minute. Okay, they flunked the front end of the test. They saw the result. Well, you can't change if you failed a test back here, but you can acknowledge God's deliverance, and they did. The people feared the Lord, and they believed in the Lord and His servant Moses. Well, we would say, why don't you just hang on to that? Because the ride isn't over and the testing isn't over. But they complained. They complained at the over bitter water at Marah. Exodus 15:24. Now you're a thinking person and you'd be among the Israelites, right? You would immediately conclude that there's things we're going to need out here in an environment that is hostile to the collection of food and even water. You're going to recognize that. You brought some food stuff up from Egypt, and it's running thin. But God's got that covered. That's faith. He's got it covered. If you're one of these people that maybe you've been laid off or whatever it is, God has got you covered. You call on His name. The circumstances may be dramatically changed for you, and you need help. We try to help our own here at Maranatha, as it is brought to our attention. We don't want anybody suffering eviction, lack of food. If we find that those more extreme cases in our congregation, we will come to your aid. But even at that, you have God as your resource. God knows what you need. You may be tested with less for a while, but other believers have been too. And they did the right thing. We haven't gone to the extreme yet of what some believers have experienced in history. And they stood up and were bright lights in the midst of it, because they're occupied with the Lord. They're occupied with Christ. They're calling on their Heavenly Father. And He's a God of deliverance, a God of mercy and grace. He will help you. Faith rests this stuff. Don't spend hours and hours watching news about the virus. It's a waste of time. You know basically what you need to do. You can't trust everything. You don't know all. There's just so much stuff flying around. But we don't have to know that. All we have to know is what Bible doctrine tells us to do. Follow our marching orders one day at a time, as we work our way through this. God will never forsake you and leave you. And what you have on your side is positive volition and love of the truth and obedience to God's authorities in this hour that we're all under. You can have all what opinion you want about this and that, as long as you do not forsake the intake of Bible doctrine. This has not been denied us. Before I get through here, well, I want to say, I want to thank those, and not everybody has to do this, but I want to thank those that have sent me an email or a phone call to encourage me and how much they appreciate how we're handling this. Even the detail of, well, I really like the 30-minute classes. You know, normally we would go 45 minutes, maybe sometimes even an hour. But I like those. We can hit a Bible class, get one, and be encouraged, because when you hear Scripture, when you hear God's Word, His promises and doctrines, you are, it's like that button on your computer, refresh. You are refreshed. You are reminded of the information. Yes, in a new context, in a new set of overt circumstances that we are under. But our God is the same as any time. And no crisis, no situation that He cannot handle and deal and provide for believers. So we, as I said, I, leading the way, have made the decision to not assemble. And I will let you know when I feel comfortable with reassemble. Whatever they're doing out there with regard to opening businesses and so forth and so on, I will let you know when it's time. You are not being hurt spiritually unless you're hurting yourself. Self-inflicted. And I hate to see that with believers, especially believers, well, any believers, but especially those that have had a long history under authority and under teaching, who underwent many trials and tests individually and corporately with this church. This is not the time to act up. You are not. Now, if you just shut this off, I'm not going to listen. Exodus generation type stuff. I'm not going to listen. I'm not going to go and listen because I don't agree with fill in the blank. You need to repent. We all can get in a situation where I need to quit that. I need to change my mind and get back with it. But that requires humbling yourself and admitting that you stepped off in the wrong path. The rest of us, if we see it, we're happy for you. We're not going to rub salt in your wounds. I'm not into that. I'm into compassion and helping people, even if they have self-inflicted wounds. So that's for my congregation. To those on the outside of sound doctrine or new to it, my thing is, find a local church that teaches like this one. Do what you have to do. You may start off just with this and with the web page. And then you get yourself in serious prayer. We are at the end of this dispensation. The dead end. So, you can still get where you need to be spiritually and get your crown. No, you will not have decades to be able to gap book after book after book. And this is why I am not really inclined to go into some big book at this late date. If God changes my mind, fine. Pray for me instead of criticize me. A different approach. Hold up your leader before the throne of grace. All right, the bitter water episode. I didn't give you the part after the Red Sea crossing, Moses' sister. And they're just kind of this movement, I would say the Holy Spirit or something, that brought them all together and they sang the song of victory, the women. Because the women would have been abused the worst if the Pharaoh had succeeded. And they're celebrating this victory in this song that they put out. What I wanted to do is, okay, that's all. Everything's happy. We're all good now, right? Pharaoh's gone. We don't have to ever wake up and have a bad nightmare about that guy. He's gone. That threat is non-existent. So now, another day. First stop on the itinerary. They went from the Red Sea, and they went out to the wilderness of Shur, and they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. This was no water test, except they just you begin to see things. God's power over water. All that massive water that piled up. The Bible actually says it piled up. Psalm, I forgot which one it is. Might be 104. The water piled up. So if you're out there on a boat and you were coming towards it, you'd see a pile of water. Not just come to an edge and go down like that. When they came to Marah, they could not drink the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. That's alkaline. Therefore, it was named Marah. So the people grumbled at Moses, take it out on your spiritual leader. If you've got any problems, take it out on me. That's the way to go. The first thing we're going to do is attack our spiritual leader and start complaining. So the people grumbled at Moses, saying, remember, all they're complaining about Moses. Moses didn't have any. Moses by himself, he has no power over this fact this is an alkaline lake. He didn't make it alkaline. So call him in. This you've led us to this bad place. You already forgot the past, didn't you? And it wasn't but 3 days. In 3 days, you implode. So the people grumbled at Moses, what shall we drink? Our little kids don't have water. Our animals are going to die. All this business. All the blessing Moses gets in the afterlife, he has it coming. Wow. Then he cried out to the Lord. And the Lord showed him a tree. What? A tree? A fallen down tree. A dead tree. A useless tree. And he said to him, and he threw it into the waters, and the water became sweet. No dead tree would do that to any water. It's another miracle. But it's also designed to teach something typologically related to the cross of Christ. Out of that comes eternal salvation, illustrated by water. Then he made for them a statute and a regulation, and there he tested them. And he tries to encourage these people. If you will give earnest heed to the voice of the Lord your God, and do what is right in his sight, and give ear to his commandments, and keep all these statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you which I have put on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord, your healer. All their time in Goshen, the Egyptians had their own batch of bad physical issues, not specified in detail. And of course, they worked for them and they would see the Egyptians afflicted with this. And apparently the Israelites were not afflicted with these same diseases, though they were interacting with them. It had to do with their habits and divine judgment on their idolatrous practices and all the rest of it. Then they came to Elim, where there were 12 springs of water. By the way, on this video, you'll see these springs still there. And 70 date palms. And they camped there beside the waters. Now, there was no test involved here. We just moved to the next place, and here's fresh water automatically, so we're not being tested. Nothing to complain about. This is just water. Of course, the next one is in chapter 16 is complaining with a lack of food in the wilderness. Chapter 16. We can't stay at one place all the time. That's not the plan. The plan isn't to stay put. It was to keep moving out according to divine guidance and direction from the cloud and so forth. So they come from Elim, and the congregation of the sons of Israel came to the wilderness of Sin. Nothing to do with our word sin. Which is between Elim and Sinai on the 50th day of the second month after their departure from the land of Egypt. On the 15th day of the second month, the whole congregation of the sons of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. Now we're going to read Aaron into it. Moses' older brother. The sons of Israel said to them, how can you come up with this? Would that we have died by the Lord's hand in the land of Egypt when we sat by the pots of meat, when we ate bread to the full. For you have brought us into this wilderness to kill us this whole assembly with hunger. We'll pick that up next time. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for the opportunity to be encouraged and to put our faith in the God who delivered Israel from Egypt. In Christ's name, amen.